Elliott Counseling Group serves Champaign, Urbana, Tuscola, Charleston, Mattoon, and surrounding communities with visits currently held both in person and via online telehealth appointments. More information is available at ElliottCounselingGroup.com or by phone at 217-398-9066. And we thank Elliott Counseling Group for their underwriting of programming at WEFT. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Nafi Ali of the Arc of Illinois and Tia Nellis, renowned disability advocate. But first, disability news for the week of April 19th, 2021. More students with disabilities across the country are graduating high school, according to a new report, but the odds of receiving a diploma differ considerably by state. The high school graduation rate for students with disabilities rose to more than 68% for the 2018-2019 school year. That's up a percentage point from the year prior. The data comes from a report issued by the U.S. Department of Education's National Center for Education Statistics and reflects the number of students who graduated within 4 years with a regular high school diploma. Despite progress, students with disabilities continue to lag far behind their peers, the report shows, with the national graduation rate for all students at almost 86%. There are significant differences among states. For instance, the graduation rate for students with disabilities was almost 83% in Arkansas, while in Mississippi, just over 42% of these students receive a diploma. Considering the COVID-19 pandemic and its impact on special education services, some families are pushing to have an extra year of school eligibility for students with disabilities who would have otherwise aged out this spring. There is a bill currently being considered in the New Jersey legislature to extend eligibility. In New York, the state education department is asking schools to offer students with disabilities an opportunity to attend summer school and continue their education through the next school year as needed to earn their diploma or other credential. A bipartisan bill introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives this month would phase out what's known as subminimum wage over 5 years and provide the means to support people with disabilities in the transition to competitive integrated employment. The legislation seeks to do away with a federal provision that allows employers to obtain special certificates from the Department of Labor authorizing them to pay people with disabilities less than the federal minimum wage. The measure, known as the Transformation to Competitive Integrated Employment Act, or H.R. 2373, would stop the issuance of any new certificates immediately and require that employees working under existing certificates be paid at least minimum wage within 5 years. The legislation would also create grant programs to help current certificate holders transition to supporting workers with disabilities in competitive integrated employment. Lawmakers said their proposal provides for the, quote, inclusive wraparound services that some individuals with disabilities will need when subminimum wages are phased out, end quote. A recent report from the Government Accountability Office details 32 factors that must be considered for people with disabilities in moving away from subminimum wage work. Among the issues cited are family concerns about individuals maintaining their federal benefits, the availability of transportation, and state policies that may make sustaining the efforts of providers in supporting people with disabilities in a regular workplace. President Joe Biden is currently pushing pushing an infrastructure package called the American Jobs Plan that also seeks to do away with sub-minimum wage. Several states and cities from Maryland to Alaska have already prohibited employers from paying people with disabilities less than minimum wage in recent years. However, some families continue to support the option of sub-minimum wage employment, saying that it offers purpose for those with more significant disabilities who may struggle in other work environments. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is publishing new guidance for day centers and the people with disabilities they serve, given the continuing pandemic. Two documents, one aimed at administrators and staff and another for participants and their caregivers, were issued late last month. Federal officials say that day centers for people with disabilities and older adults across the nation should encourage COVID-19 vaccination, hand washing, mask wearing, and physical distancing when possible. Both participants and staff should stay home if they have tested positive for the virus, have had close contact with someone who has, or if they have symptoms. Non-essential visitors should be limited from day centers, the guidance indicates, as should services and programs that require individuals to be within 6 feet of each other. In addition, centers are advised to have a plan to isolate and transport anyone who shows symptoms. The CDC is recommending that day centers modify layouts to allow for physical distancing, install plexiglass barriers, and prioritize outdoor activities. Participants should be assigned small groups that regularly do things together to limit interactions. Meals, drop-offs, and other activities should be staggered to avoid crowding. The guidance is meant to supplement, not replace, existing federal and local rules and regulations for day centers, according to the CDC. And finally, in an effort to better support people with disabilities, the state of Colorado is offering motorists the chance to have license plates on their cars with phrases like bong, ganja, hash, and hemp. 14 official state license plates with cannabis-themed phrases will be auctioned off tomorrow on April 20th. Money raised will go to the Colorado Disability Funding Committee, and according to Governor Jared Polis's office, quote, the money will be used to fund disability application assistance as well as new and innovative programs increasing quality of life and independence of Colorado's disability community, end quote. The Colorado Disability Funding Committee was created in 2016 to support organizations benefiting the disability community. The group has the authority to sell license plate configurations in the state. Other phrases that have been auctioned in the past include "It's Fast," "Rocket," and "McLaren." I don't know what that means. So far, it is 420 is the phrase having the most interest in the current auction, with bids topping $6,600. According to Governor Polis, quote, "Colorado is proud of our creativity and ingenuity. We've been a leader in the cannabis space for over a decade, and this effort allows us to fund critical projects and programs in our disability community." The auction winners will have the rights to use the specified combination of letters and numbers on their Colorado license plate. And that's the news for this week.
Well, now it's all going to pot, whether we like it or not. Best I can tell, the world's gone to hell, and we're sure gonna miss it a lot. All of the whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee, just couldn't hit the spot.
And you are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today by two guests who were gracious enough to agree to be on the show today, kind of last minute. Nafia Lee, who has been on the program before, and Tia Nellis, who has not. Welcome to both of you, ladies.
Hi, good evening, Vicki.
And why don't we start out with introductions? And Tia, why don't you go first and just tell people a little bit about who you are and what you do? Are you there, Tia? Maybe not. Nafia, why don't you go?
Can you hear me? I hear Tia. Can you hear her?
I do not hear her. Let me see what's going on here. I might have an issue with something. Let's see here. Okay. Tia, try again.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Okay.
Okay.
Start out with an introduction. My fault. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. My name is Tia Nellis, and I am the Going Home leader for the Going Home Coalition, and I also have many different hats. I'm a self-advocate and advocate for people with disabilities.
Yes, you do. We've known each other for a very long time, and I have every bit of respect for the work that you've done. Nafia, why don't you go next?
Hi, everybody, and thank you to Vicki for having us on your show tonight. My name is Nafia Lee, and I'm the Going Home Coalition Manager. I've been with the ARC of Illinois for about 2 years. Next month will be 2 years. And my background is mostly in nonprofit communications, and I've previously worked for the Quinn administration when Governor Quinn had announced the closures of a few of the state-operated developmental centers. So I'm here and excited to join you all again. Thanks so much.
Yeah, so we've been focusing the last couple of weeks on the issues with state-operated developmental centers. And I know that there have been some recent issues with the institution in Anna, the Schott Center, but it's been a standing issue in the state for as long as I've lived here, which is about 35 years now. We keep hoping that somebody will see the light and that these things will close down and that people will go to community settings. But that light went out of the tunnel when Governor Quinn did not win re-election, and he had actually closed at least one, maybe two. I'm forgetting. Mm-hmm. It was so. Anyway, what is the ARC doing now? What is the Going Home Coalition doing to help move this effort along and relieve my frustration, please?
Tia, do you want to go ahead and answer that?
Sure. So the Going Home Coalition advocates for community living. We're made up of a group of people with disabilities, family members, service providers, allies, that people should be able to live however they choose. This year, we're advocating for real choices for everyone. This means we want to make sure that people with disabilities know they have the right to live in the community, that they have the right to have a job, to live in the home that they choose. We're asking advocates to talk to the legislators about the guided rate house study that's out there. This report tells that Illinois needs to invest more in home and community-based services, and we're urging our state leaders to fund the recommendations in the report.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Tia. And I just wanted to add to that answer, Vicki, before we move on.
Sure.
It's really important that when we're talking about in state-operated developmental centers where people with intellectual developmental disabilities live, we have to talk about community capacity. So essentially what we're talking about here in the Going Home Coalition is we're not going to be able to close the state-operated developmental centers until the state prioritizes home and community-based services. So I just want to remind listeners that we really have to make sure that we have the capacity in the community, and we have to continue advocating, for instance, through this rate study recommendations, that the state needs to change this funding mechanism. Currently, we rely too much on funding institutional living, and we're urging the state to fund home and community-based living.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because there is money that goes to the state operations, the SODCs. There's money that goes to group homes. There's money that goes to some day programs. But other than that, there's not a lot of investment in like real community options, right? So,
yeah.
So what is the Going Home Coalition? What's your strategy for working with people on this?
So one of the things... Sorry, go ahead.
I think that there is this. There's a lot of strategy of being able to help people understand what the rate study is, and being able to help people find their voice and tell their stories about what's important to them. Why do they think community is important? Why do they want a job? Why is it important to fund things like your direct support workers that are out there that need a decent pay for living? Because those are the people that are out there helping people with disabilities be a part of their community. We need to have that voice to tell people why those things are important to us. If we're going to get any services in the community that are important to us, we need to be able to advocate for that.
Yeah, and you're such a great role model for that kind of structure and that kind of advocacy. Nafia, you want to add anything to what Tia said?
Yes, and I just want to kind of iterate to folks, especially when it comes to pushing for people in the institutions to know their rights to live in the community. The Going Home Coalition has done a really good job of often and very frequently communicating with the Division of Developmental Disabilities, Director Allison Stark. I'm really proud of the fact that we've met with her continuously every quarter, even through the pandemic, because these issues that we're talking about affect everybody in the system. And I'm really grateful that not only has Director Stark been willing to meet with us, but, is willing to listen to what we have to say. And, of course, as advocates, we do have to keep in mind that our job is to advocate. We shouldn't lose sight of that. And it is, absolutely disheartening sometimes when you hear about the fact that there are people potentially that are not being treated the way that they need to be. And I know that those were allegations. And, I'm not, as the Going Home Coalition, we're not going to comment on any proceedings that are happening with the people that were the staff members that showed. But we will say that we continue to communicate with Director Stark and the staff at the Division of Developmental Disabilities to make sure that everybody who lives there is afforded the opportunity to live in the community if they express that they want to do so.
And so the current rate structure is being changed. How is it changing in a way that will benefit people to be able to live more independently and out of those SODCs and other group settings?
Well, several things are being done as part of the rate study recommendations. So the first one has to do with workforce. So the first recommendation really talks about the direct support professionals and that they deserve a living wage. And the recommendation is saying that DSP wages should average about 150% of the minimum wage. That's a very big change.
That's still low, though.
Yeah, that's still significantly lower than we're seeing, but according to the Guidehouse study, it's still going to make Illinois far more competitive than it currently is.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I 100% agree with you. There is not enough emphasis on the fact that people with developmental disabilities need support, and we cannot live as independently as possible if it isn't for support staff. So that's at least a step in the right direction. And again, we have so much more to go, we know. The other one that we're talking about is about disability service providers, that people that are living in higher cost of living areas should receive more money to provide services. So, for instance, if you are living in some place like Chicagoland, you're obviously the higher cost of living there means that disability service provider are going to be strapped a little bit more financially. So they are talking about the fact that it's going to vary based on where you're at in the state. The other things that we wanted to talk a little bit about that have to do with the service system and transforming the service system. We're really excited to know that one of the recommendations in the study talks about supported employment. It's actually going to benefit the state to improve supported employment services by increasing funding to support the activities that help people with developmental disabilities to keep and paid, obtain and keep paid jobs in the community. So we're really excited about that recommendation. And Tia can talk a little bit about employment, but employment is one area that we consistently see that people with developmental disabilities talk about the fact that they're not afforded the same opportunities and rights as people without disabilities.
Absolutely. Go for it, Tia.
Well, I think that employment is really hard nowadays, even during this pandemic time that is happening. For people to have a job, keep a job. So it's really been kind of exciting to see that people are getting creative and helping people with disabilities still have those opportunities for employment. So I think that the more people with disabilities are able to talk about employment and talk about what a job means to them, the more we're going to be able to educate others about why it's so important to fund employment and help people get those jobs and keep those jobs. For real job, real pay, there's a lot of laws coming out that are helping that. Making sure that people know about those things that could help people get a real job and get real pay.
Is there anything within the structure of the new funding mechanism that will allow people to leave their group setting and move to their own apartment and get the supports that they need to do that? Is it that far reaching or not quite there yet?
So a couple of the things that have to do with community integrated living arrangement homes, I guess some people refer to them as group homes. Currently, people with group homes, like the fact that they live in a villa, like you know, depending on the size of the villa, that can vary. It could be, you know, 2, 4, that, et cetera, et cetera. So currently in the rates recommendations, it doesn't specifically talk about community integrated living arrangement homes, as well as the need for people to be able to move, you know, between their living arrangements and, you know, talking about the fact that if they want to live one place or the other, they should be able to move there. But one thing that I think is clear in all of the recommendations is that by really implementing the recommendations and funding them, people will have the opportunity to have more meaningful say in their day. So I think that's another important to talk about, a way to talk about this. You know, the fourth recommendation says that people want meaningful days full of better and more choices. And that includes participating in activities. Like if you don't want paid employment, you know, having the say in your program, you know, if you want to do day services, if you don't want to do day services, maybe being able to be part of the community in other ways. And of course, having the more staff to be able to support those smaller group or individual choices. So while this specific rate study recommendations do not specifically outline that, we are absolutely always talking with the Division of Developmental Disabilities to find ways to address choices of where people want to live. So again, we have a lot of work to do, but this recommendations in the study is still going to, you know, very much improve people's lives drastically than where they're at now.
I suppose a large part of the work of the Going Home Coalition is gathering the forces, getting people informed and motivated to contact their legislators and so forth. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead. Go ahead,
Tia. I think that it's really important that we talk to people about how do you talk to your legislator? How do you tell your story? Why your story is important, that you don't have to do it alone. There are people there that could help you be a part of that so that your friends can go with you or somebody can go with you that you trust can help you talk to your legislator. Talking about building that relationship with your legislator, talking about why that's important and role-playing. Teaching people through role plays about how to talk to your legislator, how to tell your story. A lot of times people might be more comfortable learning about how to do that with somebody else that they feel comfortable with first, and then being able to advocate and to educate somebody else about what their story is about. And making sure people know, you know, these are the things that are important to you and that your story is important and that we're here for you and we can help you write things down if you need it written down. We can help you role play or practice. You know, we can help you find out where your legislator is, who they are, and helping them build that relationship. And also to remember to thank their legislators. A lot of times people forget to do that. You know, we always go to them and advocate or educate them about all the things that they're not doing. And we forget to say that, thank you for the things that you are doing.
Surprising,
and thank you for taking the time.
Yeah. Surprising though it may be, legislators are also human beings who appreciate compliments.
Right. And the better you do that, the better you form their relationship. I remember when we were working on a piece of legislation before, as people first of Illinois. We wrote a thank you card to the person who, the senator who supported our bill, and she had that thank you card on her bulletin board forever. She said, thank you so much, because, you know, I don't get too many thank yous, and I get a lot of complaints and tell me what I do wrong, but not a lot of people say thank you and also thank me for the things that I have done on behalf of the people.
Yeah. Nafi, did you have something to add to that?
Yeah, definitely. I think the other cool thing about the Going Home Coalition is that it is very much people with disabilities, you know, are coming together, but they're also in leadership positions. We have three different committees currently in the coalition. We have the Leadership Committee, the Public Policy Committee, and the Communications Committee, all three of which are led by people with disabilities. We are not a token organization. We are a strong group of self-advocates, people that are family members of people with disabilities, and service providers and other allies who are really showing up for our community. We aren't just a name only. We are truly showcasing a best practice when it comes to systems advocacy. So I'm extremely proud about that. And I definitely want to make sure that we talk about the Going Home rally in a little bit, too, because I know that's a great opportunity.
We're quickly running out of time, but yes, please do.
So, Tia, did you want to tell people a little bit about the Going Home Advocacy Day since we're talking about it?
Sure. The Going Home rally is on next Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and we will meet on Zoom. We'll be hearing from people with disabilities about their jobs, about about their lives, where they live, and what meaningful things they want. We'll be hearing from the governor, has a video speech. There will be also state leaders like Senator David Kaler, and also Secretary Hull and Director Stark will be on there. And if you go on the website to register at the Arc of Illinois, just select upcoming events at the top of the screen. And on the next page, click on April 27th in the event, and you'll be able to register. We hope there'll be more people. We have a lot of people signed up already, and we're hoping that more people join us.
Yeah, the strength in numbers for sure. So the website is the Arc of Ill. So the Arc, ARCOFIL.org. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we encourage folks to go there, register. There's nothing easier than a Zoom meeting. Are they going to be doing Speak Up and Speak Out this year?
Yes, we will be doing Speak Up and Speak Out this fall. And for all practical purposes, we are planning to have a virtual event, unless, you know, miraculously something changes. So definitely we'll share that information once it's available. But plan on everybody still attending the Speak Up and Speak Out Summit virtually this year.
Yeah, that has been the premier self-advocacy event in the state of Illinois for, what is it now, 15 years, 16 years, something like that?
Yeah.
Do a fabulous job. So,
and that will be another opportunity for people to learn more about what the Going Home Coalition is doing, and also learn about how to get involved, and also advocate for the things that are important that are happening in Illinois.
Yeah, make life better for everybody. I appreciate the effort that you make, and the Going Home Coalition is a very important part of that. Thank you very much for joining me today, Nafi Ali and Tia Nellis of the Going Home Coalition. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Vicki.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great rest of your week.
Down, gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down.
stand my ground.
You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, and we're still in the midst of